All right, Matthew, St. Matthew, chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit, according to the Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now remember, there's another story in the Bible about a temptation, and that was Adam and Eve. And they were tempted by the devil, and what happened? They fell. They gave in. The guy was able to deceive them, tempt them. Then they got caught. Then they were punished, and they got kicked out of the garden. And we've been in trouble ever since. But Jesus also was tempted of the devil. Same way. Same way. And here's what happened when Jesus was tempted. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. Well, that's not unusual. Anytime you go without eating for 40 minutes, you're hungry. I mean, food is big. Food's a big thing. If you can beat food, you can just about beat the devil. If you can beat food, you could beat the devil. You see, food is something that people go for. How many know that people are into food? I mean, that's just sort of, that's kind of natural, is that man lives by bread. But man shall not live by bread alone. But here Jesus was, he hadn't eaten anything for 40 days and 40 nights. So the guy was really hungry. I mean, I can just go for a meal or two and I'm okay. But after that, I started to get angry. A hungry man is an angry man. I mean, that's just it. You just get angry. Imagine going. And I've fasted for 10 days. That's about as much as I've fasted. But you just get numb after a while. You forget being angry. You just get kind of numb. And you just you can do you're making up cookbooks in your head, stuff like that. You're just, even though you're fasting to get close to God, you're actually just getting closer to the cookbook. That's about all. That's it. You're just thinking all the time, I'm supposed to be seeking God, but all I'm doing is thinking about, when is my next meal? When am I going to eat again? Has anybody ever fasted? Just kind of ruins the whole point of it. But there it is. So Jesus was hungry, and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights because the Father told him to. I think Adam should have done that. I don't know if he'd have sinned if he'd have fasted 40 days and 40 nights. But anyway, he did. He didn't last 40 minutes. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, this is what the tempter said, "If you are the Son of God," it's what they say, you know, "command that these stones be made bread." Wow. There was a temptation because Jesus knew he had power with the Father. He could just say, "Dad, you know, I'm hungry. And I'm out here in the wilderness and there's no McDonald's. There's no restaurant out here. Could you please turn these stones that I'm looking at into bread? I don't even know if I can get to the nearest gas station. I don't know. I don't know. Could you turn these stones?" And I'll tell you what, if you were hungry and you'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights, you were out in the wilderness, you'd look at the stones and go, "I wish these stones were bread. I'd eat them." You would. So don't make this too spiritual. It's just, here's Jesus, a man, and he's hungry. He wasn't a spirit guy. So that he was so spiritual that he didn't eat. He had to eat. He was born of Mary. And when he died, he bled. That's human, not spirits. Can't do that to angels. They don't bleed and die and eat hungry food. When the tempter said to him, "If you really are the Son of God, like you say, why don't you ask the Father, turn these stones into loaves of bread?" Oh boy, if I had that kind of power and I was hungry, and I was hungry, I mean hungry. I mean hungry. Not just hungry, but hungry. Hungry. Bill, you and I know what that is. You can be playing, you know, golf for 3 or 4 hours and you get hungry. Even 2 hours. You're tuckered. You're tired. You want to eat. 20 minutes. Not even 40, see? That's not even 40. We got to get into that, you know. We got to at least have candy bars. You got to have something to get you going. Amen? Because you're out there swinging away and you're working up a appetite. So Jesus was hungry. And he had the power. He had the power. He had the power. He was connected. He was connected. That guy could get what he wanted. I believe if he had asked his father for loaves of bread, the father would have provided right out of heaven. Just rained down loaves of bread, manna from on high. How many know that Jesus has a way with his father? I mean, his father loved him. Now my boy down there is about to perish. Son, here's a loaf. He sent him down loaves of bread. But Jesus always obeyed the Father. So the devil came to him at just the wrong time. It's kind of like, you caught me when I'm hungry. You know, normally I would resist, but boy, right now I really am hungry. That's the time to tempt somebody. When you're really lonely, you bring them a sin. When people are depressed, you bring them a sin. You know, when you're in trouble, I tell you, if you're happy, it's hard to tempt you. People that are happy aren't tempted because they got everything going their way. It's hard to tempt me let's say, a fresh apple pie if I just ate a big meal and I'm full. But it's not hard if you're hungry. Somebody brings that around. Whoa, you know, that can be tempting. Amen? When you're hungry or thirsty, anything looks good. Sometimes you go to the restaurant and you wait so long, you're just starving. Anything they bring you is good. It's just, I'll eat the crackers on the table. I do. I just eat up all the crackers and all the, you any more bread, you know, while I'm waiting. I mean, you know, and I'll just eat those Spanish people. They give you all those things with the chips and all that stuff, whatever. And I just eat all of them. I bet I eat 3 or 4 bowls of that hot sauce and chips because you're hungry. By the time the meal comes, it's, yeah, we don't need the meal now. They're smart. They know how to fill you up on all those things. When I'm hungry, I love food. Is anybody else like that? So that was a temptation. Apparently, it looks like a small deal, but apparently food's big to people. Apparently, that's a big thing for a whole bunch of people in this world. Food. That's a big part of the economy of the world is, you know, what's for supper? What's for lunch? Now, in some parts of the world, they don't eat 3 meals. Just eat one. But that's a poor country. That's a poor country. And those people, they don't eat, you know, 3 meals a day. But Jesus was hungry. He's just like us. He's hungry. And the devil tempted him. He said, you know, if you're the Son of God, turn the stones into loaves of bread. Well, what's the problem? You're going to walk on water later. You're going to, you know, heal the sick, chase out devils. Come on. Kingdom of God hath come. Do it. You know what's wrong with that? You know what's wrong with that? You know what's wrong with that? You know why that's wrong? Because it would have been selfish on Jesus' part. You see, he was hungry, but he had the power. He could have said, Dad, you know, right now, forget church and all that. I'm hungry. forget, you know, all that spiritual stuff. Right now, could I just eat? And so Jesus could have used his powers and abused them for another purpose instead of, you know, saving others and all that kind of thing. Hey, I'm just hungry right now. Is that not right? Wouldn't anybody help Jesus out? Hey, if your Father in heaven won't do it, tell you what, I'll share my lunch. Amen? So, here's the deal. When you turn your life over to God, you don't get to decide when you want to sleep. He might have you stay up all night, and you're tired. I was tired today. I just went home and laid in bed. Of course, I couldn't sleep. Laying there, you know, trying to sleep. But we had to, you know, we had to do certain things after church. They keep you awake, and I'll just barely keep my eyes open. So I thought, well, I'll go home and I'll sleep. But you got home and you just laid in bed. It's just like that. I thought, I got to get up at 4 in the morning to fly to Israel. I need some sleep. Now, I'm going to leave now because I'm tired. No. I am going to get to bed early, though, tonight. I mean early. Because I to get up at 4, you got to go to bed at 8. So, you know, we're almost there. Yeah, I'm not letting my sleep go. I want to look good when I get there. But he answered, it is written. It is written. written. Three words. Don't forget this. Don't forget this. I'm going to ask you later. Just don't forget this. Three words. It is written. Why didn't he just say? Why didn't Jesus just say, hey, Satan, look, don't bug me. Don't bother me. I could just speak right now and have you wiped out. Why didn't he say that? Because Jesus went by a script. It's written. He could not just do what he wanted to do. He never took care of his personal life, his personal affairs. Did you know that Jesus didn't even have a bank account? Is everybody aware of that? He didn't have restaurant money. He didn't have anything. He totally had to go by the script. Thank God for those women that were always tracking, you know, going with him and stuff, because they had disposable income. They had lunch money. Hey, Jesus, I see your disciples are hungry. Yeah, you think you girls could arrange that? And he had ladies. I mean, he had a bunch of them. And they were always forking over the money that they saved from the old man. See what I mean? And they took care of Jesus. They took care of his disciples. Martha and Mary, he's always hitting them up. Hey, I'm going to be staying in town. You guys got any room here? Yeah, bring your boys. You know, we'll throw a thing for you. And so Jesus was always, he was never taking care of himself. Why didn't he work? He knew how to work. He was. How many know he had a profession? He'd been trained from the time he was a little kid, 12 years old. He was trained in his father's woodworking shop. He could have been a carpenter. How many know that Jesus had a profession? Could have been a carpenter. Why not work instead of being a pastor? You see what I mean? Pastors don't work. I mean, I think a few of you have noticed that. They don't do anything. Yes, an hour or two on Sunday, but that's it. So Jesus liked that kind of life. I'm pretty much like Jesus on that. I'm pretty much like Jesus. I'm following my master. You know, this is a great job. This is a great job. Work one day a week, put in an hour in the morning. I only do this one at night just for free. But basically, you know, it's just we'll take an offering, but basically it's a freebie thrown in. But basically, you see, Jesus was busy about his Father's business. How many know that the Father's business is big time with the Father? That's big time. On earth, it's not such a big deal. But in heaven, the kingdom of God, whew, that's a big deal. So I'm important in the kingdom of God. Woohoo! It's great, you know, to be, anybody can just work regular like y'all do. I have to do the Lord's work. Pray, read Bible, fast, be spiritual. That's hard work. So Jesus was hungry because he was doing the Father's work. So he didn't say, Satan, I'm going to answer your question. No, he said, I'll check with the Bible. I'm going to check with the Bible. I'll see what's written. He checked with the Bible. What's written? Here it is. This just jumped out at him. The Holy Spirit just inspired him right there. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Whoa. So he had an answer for the devil, but it wasn't his own reason. He didn't come up with his own words. He could have said, I know he had the power. Satan, get out of here. Oh, man. I would have done that. You tempter. Get out. But he didn't. He just simply quoted the Bible. He just simply quoted the script. Man shall not live by bread alone. I'm not living by bread. The Father wants me to do it 40 days or 80 days. I'll do whatever he says. How many know Moses went up on the mountain 40 days, came back down, broke the tablets, went back up again. He didn't have a lunch break even. There wasn't even a break in the middle. 80 days he was up there without food just because the people sinned. But you see, Moses wasn't his own person. He wasn't his own man. He couldn't say, hey, God, hey, I've got a complaint here. I haven't eaten for 40 days. Now you want me to go up another 40? Huh. I remember how long last time you chiseled it out with your finger. That's a lot easier than me chiseling it out with a chisel. And you know what? I haven't eaten for 40 days either. And now I got 40 more days to chisel out. It'll take me a long time. And he's cutting those things out. There's only 10 commandments, but it took him quite a while to cut that thing up. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So Jesus, don't spiritualize this. Just look at the story the way it is. Jesus said to the devil, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So how do you live? How did Jesus answer? It is written. It's good. He was paying attention. Three words. It is written. Very good. All right, I'm going to test you again. That was just the first time. So Jesus beat the devil right there. He just beat the devil. Because you can beat the devil every time with the Word of God. Well, the devil's not stupid. He thought about that. The guy's gonna beat me with the Word of God. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll quote the Word right back at the guy. That was clever. I'm going to know the devil's a good theologian too. He's got his own theological. He's not. He went to seminary. He was at my seminary. He was helping me out there. He was right there at the seminary, studying the Bible, just like we are. Then the devil took him up into a holy city, the holy city. Hey, we're going there. We're going there. We're going to go to this holy city. A couple days, we'll be there. And he setteth him, the devil setteth him. I mean, I don't know. The devil doesn't have an elevator or anything like that. But he's able to get places. Apparently, devils can do that. So he picks Jesus up by the scruff of the neck, you know, pulls him up, sets him down on the pinnacle of the temple. I mean, the guy's way up there. That's a big temple, by the way. But the devil can just like that. I mean, no, the devil, you can't even see the devil. Have you ever seen the devil? No, you can't see him. You can't see the devil. You cannot see him. He's invisible. But he can move places. I tell you what, he can be in China 1 second and then in Fort Worth the next. Hey, where you been? Singhao, Chalo, I forgot, I'm now in America. You know, he can change his language because the guy's really smart. So he's talking to Jesus in Hebrew or Aramaic or something. He's talking to Jesus. He knows a lot of languages. That devil is a linguist. The devil taketh him up into the holy city, setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he saith unto him, if. Now, I remember that's the same word he used the last sentence. You remember what he said last time? If thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. Are you a son of God? Sure. I am too. But here's the devil come along saying, if you are. Wait a minute. There's no if. I am. I am. If you're 10 years old. Did I hit it? No. You're 12? You are not. You're 12. How old are you? 9. 9, 10, 11, 12. Wow. Are you serious? So you're 12. You ought to be in confirmation. You should be learning. You are learning? Okay. Very good. Powerful. You know, I learned all this stuff at 12. Did you know that you're supposed to learn all this at 12? Dad, are you going to take him out? Take him by himself? Teach him everything so he knows everything he knows? Yeah. It's good. It's very important to do that. How old are you? It's too late. Too late. You already missed the golden opportunity. No, 13 is not too late. It's actually good when you're 12 and 13 to learn everything. Because 12 and 13-year-olds are smart. They're ready to be adults pretty soon. Oh, they're not adults yet, but they're ready. So the devil took Jesus, plunked him down on the pinnacle of the temple. He's up there on the corner looking over everything. Whoa, it's dizzy up there. This is a tall temple. And here's what he said. If thou be the Son of God. Same thing he said last time. If thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down. For it's written, he's going to quote the Bible. Oh, you want to play Bible? Bible quiz time. So Jesus has now met his match because the devil knows the Bible too. He's a theologian. Did you know many theologians are devils? Oh, wait a minute, I said that wrong, didn't I? Many devils are theologians. So, you know, many pastors, many theologians, they're really demonic. Here was one. Here's the father of them all. And he said, you know, you want to quote Bible? All right, here's the deal. If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. Why? Because it's written. I'll tell you, you want to play that written thing? It's written. Here's what it's written. Here's what's written right there. Where am I now? He shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. So what he's saying is, throw yourself off. You know, have you ever been up on a high place and you just, the thought just comes to you, what if I just jump over or fall over? You ever stand by the edge of the Grand Canyon and think, if I get any closer, what if I just fall off? Or what if I jump off? There's just something in us that feels, I think I'll just do it. But of course you don't do it, but you get scared because you're right there near the edge. Have y'all ever been like that, right on the edge of something really, I mean, you could fall, you know? And you get scared. You didn't even fall yet, but you're scared already. I do. My stomach just gets queasy. It's kind of like, I'm going to do it. I know I'm just going to do it. Does anybody have those kind of thoughts? I do. Anyway, go ahead, cast yourself down. God will take care of you. He's got angels charged. That'll, even if you would dash your foot against a stone, they'd catch you before you did. Oh, sweetheart, you almost hit your foot against a stone there. Oh, man, I'd try that one out. Wouldn't that be cool if Jesus just took a dive like that and then nothing happened, just like he was in water or something like that? They'd be right there to catch him. How many know that if you fall underneath of the everlasting arms, just don't get up on the roof of the church and do it? Because it's kind of a spiritual idea. You can't really get on the roof and jump off and think the angels are going to catch you. But what he's saying is, you say you're the Son of God, you say you're a Christian, you say God favors you, you say, I thought the angels took charge of you. How many know that little children sometimes will fall and there has to be an angel catching them? There has to be. Sometimes little kids, I remember Kara when she was, I don't know, 3 or something. I don't know how old she was, just little. I built her this thing that was about this tall, and she looked out the little window that was up on the top, you know, had a little thing that you get up on the top, and she went out and then she just fell right on her head. She just went straight down on her head. It's like, oh my God, she's dead. But she wasn't. I don't know, little kids have boing, boing in their heads or something, because she didn't die. She was fine. A few minutes, she's walking around. She cried for a couple minutes, and then she's okay. Of course, she's in the nut house today, but she's okay. She's okay. Because she has 7 kids, so there's something wrong. She is in a nut house because she's got 7 kids. God, she's doing great. But little kids can sometimes fall like that, and you think, I couldn't fall like that and be alive. But Ari, remember Ari? He fell from 11 stories over here. No human being has ever fallen that far. And he's going to Israel with us. And we're going to baptize him on his birthday, 40th birthday, in the Jordan River. It's going to be powerful. Who knows what will happen? Imagine 40 years of testing. And you get baptized. And the Holy Ghost comes upon you. I tell you, I'm excited. Clay, you should be there to see what happens. It's going to be powerful. So you never know what Jesus is going to do. But here he said, you know, no harm can come to you. Just go ahead, throw yourself off. The devil was tempting him. In other words, you're into security, right? You're into insurance, right? That's a middle class problem. The poor are always worried about bread, not the middle class. But the middle class always worried about insurance, security. Go ahead, just throw yourself down. You see, everything will be fine. That's kind of a middle class temptation, is to secure yourself. The temptation for the poor is not to secure themselves, just to eat food. Food is big to them. What did Jesus going to say? 3 words. Exactly right. This is what he says. But Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In other words, I'm not going to jump off because that'd be a temptation. That would be me just testing God out. Has anybody done that? Yeah, I know an alcoholic once. He got set free, became born again. And then he just drove by the bar and went in just to see if he'd be tempted. That, I don't know. There's something stupid about that. Because he wasn't mature. And sure enough, then he said to himself, you know, I'll just take one drink. And then, you know, 14 drinks later, you know, he realized, well, maybe I'm not really a Christian after all. It doesn't take long. You cannot, just because you're born again doesn't mean you can just tempt the Lord. You can't just put yourself in a dangerous spot and say, God, get me out. How many have done that? How many have done that? I mean, you have deliberately made decisions that put yourself in a dangerous place. Hey, there's a hitchhiker by the side of the road. I'm a lady. I think I'll stop and help him out. Ah, don't do it. You cannot tempt the Lord like that. I have. I think we all have. But you're not supposed to. Because God isn't bound to help you out because you put yourself in trouble like that. So Jesus said, no, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. If my Father tells me to do it, I'll do it. That's not written in the Bible. What's written is you shall not test or tempt or put God to the test like that. All right? So the devil said, you know, look, two down, I got another inning. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain. I must be Mount, what's the highest mountain in the world? Mount Everest? That's where he probably took him. So he's up in Tibet or something. Isn't that in Tibet? Nepal? How do you know all that? You sure? Okay. It's powerful. I have no idea. I've never been to an exceeding high mountain. And he showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. I guess if you were a tall enough mountain, you could see the whole world. I don't even know if this is a regular mountain on earth. Because this is an exceeding high mountain. It's so high that you could see all the kingdoms at once. I don't think you could do that from Mount Everest. No. So this is a special mountain. It's a kind of an unusual mountain. And he showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. So Jesus is so high that he can see, wow, this could all be mine. I could just take it. And the devil's tempting him, saying, you know, turn these stones into loaves of bread, throw yourself down, you know, it's written, it's written, it's written. Here's one. The devil says, I'll tell you one, here's one. All the kingdoms of the world are yours. I give them to you. All you got to do, well, let's read what he says, because this is really neat. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. How many know the devil wants you to worship him? Now, that doesn't mean necessarily get on your knees and worship him. All he means is pay attention to me all the time. When I tell you to fear, you fear. When I tell you to laugh, you laugh. Whatever I tell you to do, do what I say. Trust me. God, you know, he won't come through right away. I will. So the devil is right there always offering you something to tempt you to go the easy way. So he showed him all the glories of the kingdom, and he said to him, you know, hey, I'll tell you what. Why go through the cross when I could give you the crown without any crucifixion? You know, it's one of my assignments is to get you crucified. But I'll tell you what, I'll skip that part. All we have to do is go straight to it. Just go ahead and bow down and worship me right now. I won't crucify you. That's a temptation. You want to be king of the earth and you want all the people? I have them. All the people are mine. They're all sinful. I got them. I could just give them to you without the cross. You don't have to even die. You don't have to suffer. Think of your own account. Think of your own account. You're hungry? Eat bread. Think of your own account. Cast yourself down? I'll keep you safe. Think of your own account. Here's all the kingdoms of the world. You can get the cross. I mean, you can get the crown without the cross. Hey, wouldn't that be a great way to do it, to go to heaven without having to go through all the difficulties and problems and troubles of life? Would that not be an offer from Satan that would be tempting? That's a rich man's temptation right there. You know, rich people, they're not into bread. They're not even into security. They got plenty of bread and plenty of security. What they're after is power. They would love to have the glory of this world. They would love to have all the glory of all the kingdoms. You see, it's kind of like these temptations are the temptations of mankind. The poor are into bread, the middle class is into security, safety, and the rich, they're into power, control, domination. Can you see it? Jesus goes through each one of these. This is powerful. This is good teaching. All right? Now watch this. And then Jesus said to him, get thee hence, Satan. And then he had three words. It is written. Three times Jesus was assaulted by the devil with a temptation. What if Jesus had given in to one of them? He would have accused him. Father! Father God in heaven, your son just sinned. He didn't obey the Bible. He didn't follow the Spirit. He didn't go by the Word of God. He broke the law. He's mine. You see, the devil would have accused him, just like he accuses you every time you fail. Every time you sin, immediately the devil runs to heaven. God, she did it. Did you tempt her? Yes, but she did it. Yes, I'm the tempter, but she fell for it. He did what I told him to do. He took the easy way out. He doesn't love you. He didn't want any suffering. He didn't want any hungry. He didn't want to get hurt. That's the thing that people care about. Those three. Those are the big three. So Jesus passed the test. How did he do it? Three times. It is written. So he said, get thee hence. In other words, scram. Or raus mit dir, if he was German. He knows how to get rid of the devil. Out! In the name of Jesus. Amen. Do you all understand that? That's how you get rid of the devil. Get out! For it is written. What was written? What was written? Here it is. Right here. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. In other words, if in order to get the kingdoms of this world, I have to be suffered, I have to go through pain and agony, trouble and difficulty. In other words, in order to be a bigger boy, I have to get spankings, I'll take them. If the other kids are going to hate me, I'll take it. Isn't that a great way to go? Do what your father tells you, no matter what. Do you see that? You see that? That's the way to grow up right. That's the way to grow up right. Don't do what the other kids tell you. Don't do what the devil tells you. Don't do what society tells you. Do what Jesus tells you. Do y'all understand that? It's easy to go the easy way, but you must go the hard way. Say it, I want to go the hard way. I'm royalty. I want to go the hard way. Royalty doesn't go the easy way. Royalty always takes the difficult way. Make it as hard as you want to make it. Because I have to rule over this world here. I want all the difficulty. Otherwise, I couldn't rule. Amen? As a pastor, I don't want it to be easy. Thank God I've gotten my prayer on that. I have. It's something like this. God, give me difficult people. Well, thank God I've got them. I can't believe it. Well, thank you, Jesus. Give me difficult people. Give me troubles. Give me problems. Don't make it easy. Well, praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Do you all see how my prayer was answered? You know, here these people were difficult right here. I mean, they abandoned me. They did. But that's what I was expecting. I wanted that. I wanted that. And then the people that come, they're sleeping. I wanted that too. you know, I mean, that's fine. You know why? I don't want the crown without the cross. I don't want Jesus to go to the cross. I want to go to the cross. Well, that's how you grow up. He learned obedience through what he suffered. I want to suffer. Well, Pastor Jim, here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hello. Did you see that? You want a minister. You want a leader. You want someone. In fact, you yourself want this. Lord, let the baby, when it's born, keep me up all night. There you go. How many know that when you have newborn babies, they keep you up all night? You know, they're just crying like that. You know, for me, that, no. Peg, get up. The baby's crying. Yeah, I remember that. Well, you get up yourself. I've been up for hours. Well, I know, but that baby's yours. That's your job. I go to work. See, I have to read the Bible and stuff. This is your job. It's a union thing. It's a, you know, her part, my part. Do you all understand? So, you know, Jesus said he's going to take the cross for me, but that was spiritual. But then he thought I should take the cross for myself. What for? The devil tempted me and said, Jim, you know what? You could be a Christian born again and never grow up. No sweat. Just go the way of the world. You'll never be persecuted. Well, hallelujah. Why go to Israel? You think it'll be pleasant? You think it'll be nice? You don't think it'll be difficult? If you identify with the wrong people, people will hate you, persecute you, utter all kinds of evil. Isn't that great? Come on, we're made for that kind of thing, right? It's written. No weapon fashioned against me shall prevail, blah, 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 blah. All things work together for the good. He learned obedience through what he suffered. We got scriptures and scriptures and scriptures and scriptures. I can run through a troop, leap over a wall. That is exciting, isn't it? There's no fear in us. We are the boldest people. We are lovers no matter what. We'll love the Muslims. We'll love the Jews. We'll love atheists, communists. We don't care what it is. We're lovers. Amen? Well, you can get hurt. I'll tell you that right there. Because the devil is saying to you, hey, how would you like to avoid that? And I'm going, no, I don't want to avoid it. Let's go right through it. Whatever the Father has arranged, that's the way I want it to be. I don't want it to be easy. I want it to be hard. Show me the hard way. If you guys could do it the easy way or the hard way, which way would you choose? The easy way? Oh, man, that was the wrong answer. That was the wrong answer. That was the wrong answer. Anything in life worth doing is going to take a lot of energy. You know, you have to put out, I mean, a lot of sweat. Did you know that after the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve fell, the first thing that he told Adam is you're going to have to work from now on by the sweat of your brow. Why? As a punishment? Uh-uh. That's how you grow up now. You didn't want to follow my word? Then you'll learn why my word was right. Well, I've learned it. I got it down. I'm a quick learner. Oh, yeah, yeah. So you're going to cause suffering to come to me just to help me to learn the lesson? I got the lesson. My kid would always do that. Whenever I go to spank him, I'd say, I have to spank you so that you learn. Dad, I learned. I learned. Yeah. I've got it. I don't even need the spanking. You know, that my kids were cool, especially David. David was quick to say, Dad, I got it. I got it. Do the mercy thing on me here because I don't even need the spanking. No, Dave, you did not learn the lesson I told you. I got it, Dad. I just got it right now. I got it. Skip the, you know, because nobody likes to suffer. Nobody wants to be hungry. Nobody wants to be unsafe. Those are the things that are big with us. But Jesus took him. He said, no, I'm going through. I don't care if I'm hungry. I don't care if I'm unsafe. I don't care if it's difficult. I'm going to worship God. How many here are following me like that one? That's powerful. I'm going all the way with Jesus, no matter what it costs. I don't care if I die over it. Amen? Amen? I can just hear it. Maybe I didn't hear it enough. Amen? You know, yeah, all the way. Come on, don't spare. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Be generous. Amen? How many are into suffering? You can't learn obedience except through suffering. You want to be obedient to God, you have to suffer. You want to be a football player, you have to do push-ups and run around the track. You want to be a pianist, you have to practice for hours and hours. Anything in this life that's worthwhile, it's going to cost you sweat. It's hard to bring a baby into the world. It's hard to rule a family. It's hard to go to work every day. It's hard to preach a message. Well, not so hard, but I like doing that part. But it might be harder for you. Not easy to do it. I can tell you, a lot of ministers don't do it. They take the easy way out. So here's what happened. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, I know why. You know why? Because the devil hates to hear scriptures. You know, he'll take a scripture or two, but if you keep quoting the scriptures to the devil, let's say at night you couldn't go to sleep. And so here's the way to beat the devil. Satan, you better let me go to sleep right now. Because if you don't, I'm going to get up and read the Bible. And you get up and you start reading the Bible. For some reason, and if you don't, if you stayed up, you know, and he kept you up, he wouldn't let you read the Bible, start quoting the scripture. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Start confessing your sin, rebuking the devil. I tell the devil don't like that. So when you say you're going to worship God, okay, devil, keep me up. I'll worship God all night. Oh, okay, he'll let you go to sleep. I'm saying it jokingly, but I'm telling you something that's true. The devil hates the name of Jesus. When you're sick or tired or whatever the thing is, use the name of Jesus. It's powerful. I tell you, the devil will not want to tempt you. Devil, if you do that, I'm going to praise Jesus. He won't do it. He hates that name. I'll just Sometimes I just say the name Jesus real loud like that. Jesus! I just say it real loud. And the devil hates that. He just hates it. He hates that name. Why? That's the name above all names. In the name of Jesus, you know how much you can do in the name of Jesus? You can save people in the name of Jesus, heal people in the name of Jesus, deliver people in the name of Jesus, cast out devils in the name of Jesus. You can get people saved in the name of Jesus. You can do everything in the name of Jesus. It's a powerful name. So he said, worship only God. Only worship God. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast in prison, he departs into Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. Now that's when he moved. See, he moved out of Nazareth, where he was raised, and now he dwells in Capernaum. It's not that far away. Which is on the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. That it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, this is right where Capernaum is, and the land of Nephilim, so it's Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, Galilee of the nations. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Now that all comes out of Isaiah. That's out of the prophet Isaiah. So he was quoting out of the 6th chapter, 7th chapter, 8th chapter, 9th chapter, all in that area there, all about the Messiah. He was quoting this to say, the people that have sat in darkness will see a great light. That's Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus was saying, I'm going to move to Capernaum. Did you know that Capernaum was the Dallas-Fort Worth of the ancient world? I'm sorry to say this to Hayden, but it's not New Zealand. I'm serious. It's right here, Dallas-Fort Worth. You have come right here to Capernaum. This is the capital. Right here, it's a commercial capital, well-situated, that all crossroads of the ancient world went through Capernaum. If you wanted to go to Russia, you wanted to go to Africa, you wanted to go to Asia, you wanted to go anywhere you wanted to go, it had to go through Capernaum. That's how they got places. The Silk Route came through there, everything. So it was a thriving commercial city on the sea, and that sea had its own industry, fish. I don't know, when you were there a few months ago, did you eat in the Capernaum cafeteria? You know, did you go to the restaurant there? And you'll eat tilapia. You'll eat captain fish. You'll eat the fish right out of that sea. Good, very good fish. Excellent fish. Well, they had a thriving commercial business. Peter was a fisherman, and he lived in Capernaum, and he has a little house there. So he's called the big fisherman. Peter was a big fisherman. And here's what it said. From that time, as soon as he moved there, Jesus began to preach. Now here's his beginning of his ministry. Here's the beginning of his ministry. He started it out, baptism of John the Baptist. 6 months John had been preaching, teaching. So he said, he started it out. Here's how he started it out. 6 months. Now Jesus is going to have a 3-year ministry. 3.5 years total. 6 months John the Baptist, 3 months Jesus. 3 years Jesus. 3.5 years. Now, here's how he started out. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Same thing John the Baptist said. Now I've drawn on the board the kingdom of heaven. I've drawn how you get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but these 6 words up here show you how you get into the kingdom. That's how you get into the kingdom. Now, I'm going to read this first. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. You see that up there, number 1? Repent. See how it starts up there on the bottom? Repent. Can everybody see that word? Repent. Change your mind. Metanoia. Don't think the way you used to think. You're wrong. All your thinking stinks. Here's the right way to think. So you want to get in the kingdom of heaven, it isn't like the kingdom on earth. Not like it at all. The kingdom of heaven is totally a different kind of kingdom. It's not like any of the kingdoms of this world. You can't get in the normal way. For example, let's say you thought it was being good. You have to repent of that. It's not by being good. I'm going to ask you a question again, because you're 12, and so you can answer this. Have you always been good? Very good answer. Very good answer. I'll ask you the question now. You're only 9, but Have you always been good? No. You had to think about it, but no. I had to think about it. Because little kids, 9 years old, they think you could be good. But by the time you're 12, you know you can't. You got it down. You know, there's a lot of adults that haven't figured that out yet. There are. There are adults who still think they can be good. How many know that you cannot be good? You can't. You already know too. When did you learn that? Do you think you learned that at 8 or 10 or 12 or when? 10? You had it at 10? Yes, he hasn't quite got that down. But you're a little bit ahead there because you already know it somewhat. No, you just can't be perfect. So that's one thing. You have to repent of that. You have to change your mind on that. You're not good. You have to know it. I'm no good. I was trying to be good, but I'm just not good. I was trying to do it all right, but I just can't. I'm still going to try, but I think I've pretty much figured out I can't. Has anybody ever discovered that in your own life? You cannot be good. Why? Why? Why can't you be good? What does the Bible say about you being good? Only God is good. Well, if only God is good, that kind of eliminates you. Amen? Amen? So only God is good. If only God is good, when are you going to get good? I drew it up on the board how you do it. You don't. God does it. God's good. And only God is good. So how are you ever going to get good? Well, it'd have to be a gift. Because you can't do it. You just can't flat do it. The Holy Spirit's in you to willing to do, yes. But I'll give him the glory. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and he declares you good, yes. But you didn't do that either. You didn't make yourself. You didn't save yourself. You didn't sanctify yourself. You didn't change yourself. You didn't do anything. Because you're not good. All you can do is eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't eat of the tree of life. Unless God brings it to you and gives it to you. Does that make sense? You are not good. You'll never be good. You never have been good. And it's not even possible. Only God is good. Only God is good. And if there's any good comes out of you, it'd be because God was living in you. But you can't make God live in you. Only God can choose to live in you. So I've drawn how the kingdom works. Now, if you learn this, you could teach this gospel anywhere. This is good news. Six things. Number one, repent. First thing you got to do, you got to start down here at this point right here. You got to start right here. Repent. God says, be good, and you say, I can't. So let's say it, I can't. Now here, Jesus was good though. So I say this, he can. Okay, I can't, he can. I can't, he can. God says, Jim, I want you to be good. I can't. Now, Jesus, I want you to be good. He can. And number three, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we will. I can't, he can, 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 we will. Why? Because what I couldn't do here on number one, Jesus did for me in number two. And therefore, because Jesus did it for me, now he's doing it in me, and then he'll do it through me. Ha! For me, in me, through me. All right, I'm going to write that because you need to see that. For me. This one here is for me. This one's for me. This one down here, number one, that's against me because I can't do it. I can't do it, this one. It's against me. How many know there's no goodness in man? Man is not good. There's nobody here that's any good. You're not good. So he's against me here, but he's for me here. I'm going here. I'm going to repent then of me trying to do bad and think I'll get it or do good. I can't do either. I just can't. I mean, I can do bad, but I don't know how to do good. So he's against me because I did the bad. He said, now don't do this. Nah, I did it. Now do this. Nah, I didn't do it. What he told me not to do, I did. What he told me to do, I didn't. Do y'all see this? So here, I have to repent of that because I can't be righteous under the law. I can't be righteous under the law. So I repent and I come over here and I'm righteous under the grace of God. Because here he's for me. So I try to obey, but I can't. Here I believe that he is good. He did good, and he did it for me. I believe that. I don't believe he did it for himself. I believe he did it for me. I always do for myself. That's why I can't do what God wants. Because God wants me to obey him and serve others, and I want it to serve me. I just can't do it his way. How many don't want to do it God's way? We want to do it our own way. And he says, Jim, go without food. I want to have food. Jim, just jump off this building and get hurt. I don't want to. Jim, I want to give you the kingdoms of this world, but you have to suffer to get it. You see, I don't want to do it. I just don't want to go that way. But Jesus was willing to do it. So Jesus didn't care about himself, but I do. So I can't. He can, and we will. So here, this is beautiful. Because now, you see, I repent. Then I believe, then I will to do his will by the work of the Holy Spirit. I didn't even do that. Then my mind is renewed. I didn't do that. Then my emotions are happy. I didn't do that. Then my conduct is pure. I didn't do that. That's the kingdom of God. It starts with the individual, goes into the family, changes the church, and then it's a light and salt to this world. And the whole world is judged by that church, which is holy and pure. Now, we're a church, but we're not ready yet because we don't have enough individuals that have moved from 1 to 2 to 3 until this number 1 becomes 4. You can turn a 1 into a 4 because of the conduct that is a deed wrought in God. These deeds are my deeds, but these deeds are the Holy Spirit deeds in me. These deeds are Jesus' deeds for me. This is the Holy Spirit's work through me until I'm dead. Right here, when this is all done, right here, that's my death, right there. Take up your cross and follow me. There's my death. I've died to myself. I no longer care about myself. Here I care about myself. But here, Jesus died. But here, I die. And when my death is over, will, mind, and emotions, my soul has been transformed. Beholding him, I'm changed. The one that died for me, I behold him. Boom, it changes my will. My will becomes strong. My mind becomes clear. My emotions become happy. Then I'm dead. And only then can the Holy Spirit work through me. Now, I don't want you to be inspired. I want you to actually learn how this is done. This is the way the kingdom of God cometh. Starts with an individual, gets into the heart. Here's your heart, right here. This is not your heart here. This is your behavior. No good. But here, in my heart, I believe Jesus. Then in my soul, I want to do the will of God, though I didn't do it yet. I understand the will of God, and now I'm happy about doing the will of God, and then I'm dead. And then the conduct takes place. I didn't even do it because I'm dead. So it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. So this same Jesus had to kill me in order to get through me so that he could live his life through me. Do you see that? That's the kingdom of God. That's how the kingdom of God cometh, as in heaven, so on earth. Because otherwise, I'll be selfish. Otherwise, I'll try to do it. I'll try to work it out down here. I'll control this family. How many have tried that one? That doesn't work. I'll keep things in line here. Well, you don't have the power. You can't do it. I'm just too much work, people. Stop it. You can't make a church. You can't make a family. You can't make yourself even. You can't do anything. Apart from me, you can do. That's number 1. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But number 2, he can do it all. Jesus Christ has done it all. He did your salvation. He's doing your sanctification, and he'll do your glorification. Number 1 is damnation. Number 2 is salvation. Number 3, 4, and 5, that's called sanctification. And number 6, that's called justification. So I'm gonna number it now differently than I have these numbers up here. I'm going to call this one 1. I'm going to call this one 2. I'm going to call this one 3. I'm going to call this one 4. I'm going to call this one 5. And I'm going to call this one 6. So where are we heading for 6? It's the number of man. 6, then, would be where you're heading. That you will be a different man. Remember it was said of King Saul? He was a different man. You need another mind to be a different man. You need another will to be a different mind. You need to have other emotions. How many know that the emotions you have are not the right emotions? The mind you have is not the right mind. It's written. What? What's written? Think on these things. Things that are pure, that are holy, that are good, that are just, that are true, that are excellent. Don't think on negative things. Don't think on bad things. Does that make sense? Think on things that are right, that are true, that are good, that are excellent. Well, I like to think on that. I like to think everything's going my way. That's a good thought. I like to think Jesus loves me. Did you ever think that? Jesus loves me? Yeah, he does. You can't make him love you, he just does. I like to think I'm going to win everything. I just like to think Jim the Great. That's what I like to think. It would be selfish under number 1, but after Jesus kills me, it's actually a gift. I'm actually going to get more with Jesus than I would have on my own. Because I wouldn't have got anything on my own. I've tried so hard sometimes to make people like me, and they don't. Then you just give up and quit, and all of a sudden people like you for no reason at all. Isn't that amazing? I've got more friends today than when I was trying to get them. So you just learn to give up. I got a better marriage today because I'm not working at it. I got a better church today because I'm not doing anything. We kicked out all the bad people anyway. We just ran them off. You see this row over here? We just ran those people off because they weren't any good. They weren't happy enough. They were sad, so they're gone. Now all we got is angels. I mean, can you see the angels? Of course, they're invisible. Can you all see them? There's this angel. Hi. Hey. Hi. Hey. How you doing? They're big. They're real big. Hi. Hi. They're real big. Hi. And so all we got is a whole church full of angels over here. There's one. One you can see. But that's not really, don't pay attention. That's not really an angel. That's actually a person. But persons can be right among angels. Amen? And this whole middle is all full of angels. Can you see them right here? Oh, this place is packed. This place is packed. Amen. I don't know if I was Jesus if I'd come to this church or not. I don't know if I would. But I might. But I believe Jesus loves me. I think he's here. You know, he did say this. It's written. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Wow. He's here. Well, let's say I wasn't here. Would he still be here? Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, let's say none of us were here except Joel. Would he still be here? Yeah. It's amazing. Now, let's say Joel wasn't here and there was nobody here. Would Jesus be here because this is his house? No. He doesn't want to be where no people are. He's a people Jesus. He's totally into relationship. He's not into buildings. You think I'm just saying something? The Catholic Church believes that that building is the house of God. It's not. It's just a building. When I'm here, it's a house of God. If I'm in my own home, it could be a house of God. Wherever we are, that's where he is. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. So he doesn't live in buildings at night. Church is not his house. You can't contain God in some building. You think when we leave here, Jesus stays? No, he travels with you in your car. Then he's with you at the home. I don't know how he divvies himself up, but he's able to do it. He's cool. Hey, Jesus, are you here with me or did you go in that other car? He's right there in my car. I don't know about your cars. I just know he's always with me. He said he'd never leave me or forsake me. Never! Do you all know that? So this kingdom comes. Here's how it comes. Repent, believe, will, mind, emotions, behavior, conduct. Beautiful. You see that? So he's renewing you right now. This is just for you individually. This rock is just for you. This cornerstone, this block up there that I've drawn. That's just for you. That's how you get into the kingdom, through that rock. Beholding him, you are changed. That rock's nothing but Jesus. That's just Jesus up there. Picture of Jesus. Jesus kept the law. That's number one. He is the perfect example. He actually does number one. He's the only one. And number two, that's a free gift. Because he kept the law, he gives it to you for free. I get all the benefit of the law. Don't think I've come to destroy the law. I've come to do it, fulfill it. So he did. So number one, it's only for Jesus. It's not for you. Thank God. Because if it's for me, I'm not going to make it. If you put the law on me, I can't make it. No, not one. All have sinned. No, not one. Everybody sinned. Everybody's sinned. Everybody has sinned. Say it. I've sinned. I don't deserve to go to heaven. You don't deserve it. You don't need to deserve it. He just gives it to you as a free gift. Why? I don't know. It's just the way he is. He loves to do things for people, just like a parent does for a child. How many of you are now dead to this world? You're just dead to this world. You don't care about yourself. You don't have any needs. You know, this hierarchy of needs. You know, I need to have food. I need to be safe. I need to be liked. I need to, you know, you don't need all that. All you need is Jesus. If with Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. All you need is Jesus. Hey, I don't need friends. I don't need food. I don't need to be safe. I don't need anything. I just need Jesus. How many know that you're complete in him? When you got Jesus, you get everything else too. I'm not even working at anything else, and I get it for free. It just comes along with the package. Amen? Are you all following what I'm saying? You don't need to have a job. You don't need to be good looking. That's good news for some of you. You don't need to be good looking, because a lot of you are ugly. You're not that good looking. But you don't need to be. Praise God. You don't need to be muscular. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. But I could do a hand thing with let's see. Let's try it. Okay, squeeze as hard as you can squeeze. I won. See? Of course, you have to pick them when they're little. You don't want to get to somebody bigger. Joel, I don't want to do it with Joel because he's 12. No, look. God wants you to relax. Here's his kingdom. Here's how you get into it. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. There it is, for you, forever. Sorry about that hand thing. Just trying to make a point. Now, someday, if I do it with him, he'll crush me. Someday he's going to get bigger than me, and I'm not getting bigger. I eat, and I don't get bigger. But he's eating, and he's getting bigger. So someday he'll look down on me. Take that. Did you know that Jesus loves you? The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. It's only 7:30. We got through something very powerful tonight. There are 6 steps. Does anybody got them memorized? Anybody? Anybody got them memorized? You got it memorized? Try it.
Repent.
Yep.
Believe.
Yep.
Your will.
Yes. Whew, perfect. Anybody else? Who's got it? Who knows the 3 words? 3 words that Jesus used to defeat the devil. 3 words. You got it? Exactly right. All right, let's try somebody else. Who else knows the 6 steps to get into the kingdom of God as an individual? 6 steps. How's it start?
Repent, believe, will, mind, emotions, kindness.
Okay. Your will should be strong, your mind should be clear, your emotions should be happy. What's the opposite? A confused mind, double-minded. What kind of mind? What kind of mind should you have? Simple, clear, or confused, double? It should be. What kind of will should you have? Weak or strong? Strong. What kind of emotion should you have? Miserable or happy? Happy. Exactly. All right. So what does the Holy Spirit do? First, you repent, then you believe, and then you give him your will. Not my will, but thine be done. Now your will is strong. Then you give him your mind. Take every thought captive to the word of God. All of a sudden, I'm thinking on things that are pure, that are holy, that are just, that are right, that are true. Now my mind is clear. It's no longer double and confused. Then all of a sudden, I'm happy, emotionally happy. You know how to get emotionally happy? Have a clear mind. You know how to have a clear mind? Be strong in your will. You know how to be strong in your will? Have faith in Jesus. You know how to have faith in Jesus? Repent. of your own goodness, of your own greatness, of your own glory. Give God the glory. And you know what that'll all result in? Good behavior, good conduct, led of the Holy Spirit, empowered by God. You'll be able to do the works of the kingdom. You'll do exploits for God. You can run through a troop, leap over a wall. Nothing's too hard for you. There is no difficulty. There is no problem. I tell you, whatever comes against you, you'll throw it down in the name of Jesus. How many can take anything? You're not afraid of suffering. You're not afraid of problems. You're not afraid of trouble. You know why? Because you believe. You've repented. You have a strong will. You have a clear mind. You have happy emotions. You can laugh at the trials and the troubles and the difficulties and the problems. Why? Because you're dead to this world and you're alive to God in Christ Jesus. Your behavior then is led by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit's within you operating. Now that you're a dead man, the Holy Spirit can do anything He wants with you. That's how Jesus learned obedience through what He suffered. The reason why Jesus is our Savior and the reason why you need to become like Jesus is so that you can be a blessing to others and submit to the will of God. That's the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God. We just define the kingdom of God in some simple terms. The kingdom of God is that kingdom right there where God gets all the glory. Number one, you can't do, but we can turn a one into a four. We can turn a one into a four. What you can't do apart from Him, you can do through Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see where I got the power, number three up there? I got the power through the Holy Ghost. Now I can do all things. Same guy that couldn't do anything, apart from me, you can do nothing. Same guy that couldn't do anything, now I can do everything. The only difference is Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing, but through me, you can do everything. Apart from me, you can do nothing, but in me, through me, by me, you can do everything. That's pretty powerful. What can't you do? If we go to Israel tomorrow, tonight at 4 o'clock, if we go to Israel, what's going to happen? Well, we want to do the will of God. How can we do it? How can we do it? Well, because I have a new mind. I have a strong will. I'm happy in my emotions. My conduct is clean. I'm stable in all my ways because I'm not a double-minded man. I believe in Jesus. I repent of all my sins. That's why the Jews will see it and they'll say, the kingdom of God is with you guys. And the Jewish people will be blessed. Do you think they'll even notice us? Sure. Of course. They'll never be the same. Amen? Wherever you go in the world, they'll never be the same. Why? Why go unless you're going to change the whole place? That's why we're here in America. Did you know this is a blessed place? Did you know that this church is a light? We're a light. You are the light of the world. A city cannot be hid. You got to put it up on a light stand so everybody can see in the house. You want the whole house. God's whole house, God's whole creation. You want them to see by your light. Why? Because you repented, you believed, you have a strong will, you have a clear mind, you have happy emotions, and your conduct is pure, stable, strong, enduring. Why? Because of the work of the Holy Ghost. You got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit's number two, your soul is three, four, and five, your body is number six. There it is. All you got to do is start with repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what Jesus said, same as John the Baptist. Same. He beat the devil, then he set up his kingdom. First thing you got to do when you set up your kingdom is beat the devil. You can't set up a kingdom and then have the devil come in. You got to beat the devil first. So Jesus beat the devil, and you know what? He did it for you. He did it for you. Now, be bold. Go forth. Go forth. No one can stop you. You are unstoppable. You are the army of the living God. Woo! Boy, I wish these pews could shout. I wish these pews could shout. Amen. I hope you're blessed tonight. Matthew, Sermon on the Mount. Beautiful. All about the kingdom of God.